Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
Let's face it, the United States does not have a good image abroad. But our illustrious Secretary of State has changed all that. On December 6th, Hillary Clinton, our Secretary of State, delivered a speech to the United Nations in honor of International Human Rights Day, which is celebrated on December 10th, the date in 1948 when the United Nations formally adopted the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. Clinton promised continued foreign aid to needy countries, but with a major change in policy that would be tied to how they viewed gay rights. In fact, President Obama promised to revamp America's international presence in favor of the gay rights agenda, pledging that U.S. officials would be trained to specially assist homosexual persons and would, quote, combat foreign communities' intolerance by helping normalize gay orientation and sexual activity, unquote. And those are among other changes. So those actions on December 6th will surely help our image and prove to the world that the U.S. is not as perverted as they thought. Yeah. I've asked Laurie Higgins to be my guest today to discuss this disgusting change in policy. Laurie is a cultural analyst for the Illinois Family Institute, an AFA affiliate based out of Chicago. Thanks, Laurie.
Hi, thanks for having me.
You guys are right in Chicago, right?
Yes.
Correct? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Where it gets chilly in the wintertime. How did Hillary Clinton begin her speech? I mean, when she gave the speech on the 6th, and I can't remember where it was at when she gave the speech.
It was in Geneva.
Geneva, okay, that's right. Did she just jump right in with both feet saying, you know, we've got a change in policy and we're going to go whole hog with pushing the homosexual agenda around the world? How did she approach it?
I mean, it was a little bit deceptive. Her speech began by talking about the beating, terrorizing, and executing of homosexuals, which, of course, everyone would oppose.
Exactly.
Every civilized human would oppose that. But then it switches. Her rhetoric switches, and then she starts talking about discrimination and the full liberty and full equality. And what those of us who do this work and are watching what homosexual activists are trying to achieve understand is that, in their view, moral disapproval, for instance, the religious convictions of Muslims and Catholics and many Protestants and Orthodox Jews, the belief that homosexual acts are wrong, in the view of homosexual activists, that constitutes discrimination.
Yeah.
So when she talks about discrimination, it's something wholly distinct from terrorizing and executing homosexuals.
Yeah, they go beyond and they have the buzzwords.
Right.
And especially when it comes from this administration on this issue especially, discrimination to them is, like you said, is anyone who opposes the advancement of the homosexual agenda, anyone who opposes, even on moral grounds, the homosexual lifestyle.
That's right. The belief that homosexual acts are not moral acts, that is to them intolerance, homophobia, bigotry, and discrimination. Of course, they don't apply that principle consistently. They don't say that other moral beliefs about behavior constitute hatred of persons or discrimination. And that's the discussion that should be had. We should say, are these principles that they're espousing, do they apply them consistently? Even the idea of sexual orientation or identity and how that's constituted in the world of homosexual activism is an idea that's rarely examined.
Right. Another thing that Clinton did is she continually compared homosexuality to race.
Right.
I mean, that is a common thing among homosexual activists and their allies. Just how inaccurate is that?
Well, that's one of my frustrations, is that conservatives, when they posit analogies to race, and they do it all the time, whether it's the civil rights movement, they compare the movement to normalize homosexuality to the civil rights movement, or opposition to the legalization of same-sex marriage, they say is the equivalent of bans on interracial marriages. No one ever says, in what way is homosexuality equivalent or analogous to race.
Right.
Because CECAS, which is the Sexuality Information Education Council of the United States, it's a very well-known, very influential organization. They define sexual orientation, which is a term I have huge problems with,
right.
but they define that as constituted by desires, fantasies, and sexual behaviors. So in what way is that analogous to race? It's a completely specious analogy, and I think it's the analogy on which their entire house of cards is built. And we need to start putting the other side on the intellectual defensive to defend all of their propositions that they put forward as accepted fact, virtually all of which are disputed assumptions.
Absolutely. And we see the media, you mentioned, you know, conservatives definitely need to start asking the tough questions and not just accept the terminology thrown out there to them, because as you're saying, sexual orientation is basically, there's no real definition for it.
That's right. Well, they've invented a term in order to create this idea that, and promote this idea, that homosexuality is sort of the flip side of heterosexuality, and they're equivalent, they're analogous, they are the same, and that's an assumption. In other words, I would argue that all human beings are heterosexual, and they're heterosexual in this sense. We procreate heterosexually, and our bodies are designed for heterosexual sex. So in that sense, all humans are heterosexual. I would say that homosexuality is a disorder, a disordered feeling or impulse or attraction, and homosexual acts are immoral acts, and it's a perversion of our intended design.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's why, and also sexual orientation implies biological determinism and immutability. And so I would never use that term. I don't feel like we should be compelled to use terms that implies that the certain assumptions are given, that they're factual.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would say conservatives should not use that term.
What term would you suggest we use instead?
Well, we should be specific. When we're talking about homosexuality, we should say homosexuality.
Okay. To specifically designate which group you're talking about, which ones, or how they claim to be.
That's right. Homosexuals are people who experience a sexual attraction for their same sex and often act on those impulses.
It's interesting that as we've seen too many local ordinances being passed here in Pennsylvania, which include the word sexual orientation, they always define it as heterosexuality, homosexuality, or bisexuality. That in itself shows that there's a changeability, that there's nothing permanent about anything defined under sexual orientation is not permanent. So how can Clinton compare sexual orientation to race when even the examples here in Pennsylvania, as they've added that word to local ordinances with the definition, you know, having three parts, with, you know, three different groups of individuals, it's not at all race, because you can't have race defined as Caucasian, Mexican, Irish. That doesn't make any sense, as you're saying.
Well, the reason that they include sexual orientation in there, which I would argue people should try to get the
anti-discrimination. Yeah, we've been fighting it tooth and nail, right? Yeah.
That's right, because the reality is they don't mean heterosexuality. No one ever discriminates based on heterosexuality. It would be an absurdity.
Mm-hmm.
And that points out that really what they're talking about is homosexuality.
Absolutely. And those are the ones pushing these ordinances.
That's right.
So
now, they would argue that the fact that they have this term that's an umbrella term does not mean that there's fluidity or flexibility or mutability. They would say, oh, there's these three distinct categories. Of course, I mean, how do you have a distinct category of bisexuality?
Right. Exactly. Good point.
But they're using it in order to prevent people from making legitimate distinctions about what constitutes moral behavior.
Yeah.
People should be able to discriminate in the sense of make a determination about what is right or wrong. They should be able to make those distinctions among different kinds of sexual behavior. That's a legitimate exercise in moral reasoning. And to say that you can't discriminate in the sense that you can no longer make judgments mm-hmm. about what's right or wrong in terms of sexual behavior, that's a huge problem.
Oh, yeah, because that is the grounds right there to come to the conclusion that pedophilia is, there's nothing wrong with that, because that's a sexual activity.
Which, of course, they're trying to do.
Well,
there
true.
Was that recent conference called Before You Act. Pedophiles have now given themselves a new designation. They call it a sexual orientation. It's called minor attracted persons. And right now they're saying the feelings, there's nothing problematic about the feelings. You just shouldn't act upon them. Of course, how long is that going to stand?
Exactly.
You know, and I don't think that people who are actually pedophiles, people who would belong to a group like NAMBLA, the North American Man Boy Love Association, actually don't think there's anything harmful about sexual relations between adults and minors as long as they're not coercive.
Right, as long as the minor consents to the sexual activity.
That's right.
Which is...
And polyamorists are going to argue that theirs is a sexual orientation. Polyamory is the romantic and sexual attraction to multiple people at the same time. And they're going to argue that that's a sexual orientation.
So what Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama have done, basically, with this speech back on the 6th, is say, you know, they've actually laid the groundwork. If this stands, if this new policy follows through, and they're going to be what? They're going to be training embassy personnel to address and to help homosexuals?
There were two public proclamations on December 6th, and one was Hillary Clinton's speech, but the other one was a memo from the White House. It was to the heads of executive departments and agencies, and this was issued by Barack Obama, and this is even more troubling in terms of its detail and its the rules that sort of accompany it. And this memo is really harnessing the power and influence and money of the United States to normalize homosexuality around the world. And he's ordered all arms of the U.S. government that are involved with diplomacy, foreign assistance, foreign development to normalize homosexuality. I mean, even one of the quotes is that agencies engaged abroad are directed to expand efforts to combat discrimination, homophobia, and intolerance on the basis of LGBT status or conduct. So that's really revealing that they're getting far away from just trying to stop the terrorizing and executing of homosexuals to eradicating moral disapproval. And they're also asking all international organizations not affiliated with the government, I mean, that we're involved with but not part of the U.S. government, to be part of this. It's requiring that all agencies engaged abroad, and they specify this is the State Department, Treasury, Defense, Justice, Agriculture, Commerce, Health and Human Services, Homeland Security, and it goes on, USAID.
Yeah.
They all have to prepare a report within 180 days of this memorandum, and annually thereafter, this report will go to the State Department, and then that will go on to the President, reporting how effective and successful they are at eradicating moral disapproval of homosexuality around the world.
Around the world. And as I read that, I thought, the Department of Agriculture, to include all that? I mean, among the list is the Department of Agriculture.
Right. Every department that is involved in anything internationally has to be about promoting homosexuality.
Yeah.
And what's really enraging about this, and I wish there would be more media coverage, is in all the research that I've done, consistently, the most persecuted group in the world are Christians. The estimate is somewhere between 200 and 300 million persecuted Christians around the world. And I was on the whitehouse.gov website today looking at all the briefings, and then I looked under particular issues, not just for briefings, but other kinds of documents on, and I used the search terms religious persecution, religious liberty, Christians, and I have not seen anything like this. With this level of detail, they're on religious freedom. There's a Religious Freedom Protection Day or something like that. He's issued a very general kind of proclamation like, oh, we have to respect religious freedom.
At least present yourself as doing that when in actuality he couldn't care less.
But it's not even that specific and it's not even a detail. I mean, he hasn't called for every agency that's involved in diplomacy or foreign assistance or foreign development, called on them to use their resources to end the persecution of Christians everywhere in the world. And yet, this is the most persecuted group in the world.
I think like 200 million have been killed since 1900, the beginning of the 20th century, seems like.
It's really outrageous.
Yeah.
I mean, this is outrageous that he has taken up a cause, particularly a cause that is centrally about people's feelings and their volitional sexual acts. We all agree people shouldn't be terrorized or beaten or denied police protection because of their, even if it's immoral sexual conduct, they shouldn't. But that he is expending so much of
our money, $3 million. $3 million of taxpayer dollars are going to be used to fund this new global equality fund.
That's just one. That's a new initiative, the Global Equality Fund. $3 million we used. But there's also all the money that goes to these other agencies.
That's true, all the departments and stuff, yeah.
That's right, exactly.
Yeah. Wow. So really, we won't be able to follow the money trail as to how much is actually spent on this new initiative.
I don't even know how that would be possible all these agencies involved. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know if they're forming committees within every agency to develop initiatives and, you know, for something that this is really, it's certainly not our business to try to transform the moral beliefs of other countries. And I would argue that might create
problems. It's
going to
backfire. I mean,
that's right. It will create problems.
Right.
If Muslim countries think the United States is coming in and telling them what they should believe about the nature and morality of homosexuality, I have no problem with putting pressure on countries not to beat and terrorize and execute homosexuals. I have a huge problem with our government promoting unproven, arguable assumptions about what homosexuality is and whether it's moral.
And to push their views on us and to force us as taxpayers to back his immoral actions in first-time foreign aid to that particular country's acceptance of homosexuality. I read that immediately after Clinton's speech, she includes this phrase, because we are humans, we have rights. And because we have rights, governments are bound to protect them, which is true, except the U.S. government at this point is going too far. She also mentions that people should not be discriminated against because of who they love. I mean, I've read that phrase so many times. That's a phrase that homosexual activists has picked up, especially in the same-sex marriage issue, but even beyond. You know, no one should be discriminated against because of who they love. Anyway, pulling on the heartstrings, playing on the emotions of the ones who are listening to her speech.
Right. Well, in this country, you'll hear that often in terms of legalizing same-sex marriage. There are no laws prohibiting men from loving men or women from loving women. Right. What they want is the right to redefine marriage legally in such a way as to allow them to marry the person they want to marry, to determine the sex of the person they want to marry. And, of course, they don't want to, well, actually, that's changing. I was going to say they don't want to allow polyamorous to marry the people that they love, although that actually is changing because many homosexuals see the inconsistency in saying, well, we should be able to marry who we love, but polyamorous shouldn't be. But actually, many homosexuals still say this institution should be a binary institution composed of two people. Of course, the question that raises is, if marriage has nothing to do inherently with gender, in other words, it's not a complementary institution, and if it has nothing inherently to do with procreative potential, then why should we limit it to two people?
Absolutely. The door is wide open to however they want to define it. A decade from now, how will they want to redefine it? It's just tragic. And I know that immediately after Clinton's speech, many, if not all, of the African heads of the African nations stood up and walked out immediately after his speech. Because we're talking about Christian nations in Africa who do get foreign aid from the U.S., who ban same-sex marriage, who've outlawed homosexual acts, and they are being told that in order to continue getting foreign aid, they must change their laws. And it is not right. We have no business pushing this agenda on nations. I mean, if they need help, they need help. I mean, we need to be careful that they are not, as you're saying, we should not be giving foreign aid to countries that kill homosexuals, that, you know, where there's harsh treatment of homosexuals. We need to be careful of that. But yeah, we give foreign aid to Saudi Arabia. But anyway, that's a different ballgame because it's a Muslim country, I guess. And the African nations especially are very offended by this. And I think American taxpayers should be very offended that the administration is using our tax dollars to push this agenda now, no longer just in the United States, but around the world. But as you're saying, the media's not covering it. They're not talking about this.
No, but I'll tell you, the homosexual websites loved Hillary Clinton's speech. That's who was talking about it. It was covered on all of them as a landmark speech. And I think it is a landmark speech. It's not a good landmark, but it certainly is. It is revolutionary.
It's another door that the administration has walked through to further their agenda. And let's face it, hey, there's the election next year.
Right.
And the incumbent is depending upon the homosexuals to help him get back in the White House. And he's doing everything that he can to gain their vote. I mean, that's the way I read it.
This has been a radical administration in terms of promoting the normalization of homosexuality, from the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, to the refusal to defend the Defense of Marriage Act, and the support for the Respect of Marriage Act, which would repeal the Defense of Marriage Act.
Right.
And now this memo and this accompanying speech by Hillary Clinton. You know, and this is what is frustrating to me, is that I don't think conservatives, Christians, are looking at the big picture and to see that there is no greater threat to First Amendment speech and religious liberty than the homosexual agenda. Sharia law is not as serious a threat, it's certainly not in this country, as the homosexual agenda. We've seen it here in Illinois. Our Catholic Charities is no longer doing adoptions, and our Evangelical Child and Family Agency isn't, specifically because of the passage of the Civil Union Law. And just recently, we had a woman who has a bakery in Iowa who wouldn't do a wedding cake for a lesbian couple. I don't know what the status of her case is.
I think she's being investigated because they have sexual orientation in their state anti-discrimination law. So I think she's being investigated. Plus, in Illinois, there was a situation with the bed and breakfast that did
not want
to...
Right, I think that's still going on. Okay. Alliance Defense Fund is handling that. So we have to start looking at these discrete events and putting them together and seeing where the future is. And the future is, and we can look in Canada, I mean, they have such incredibly prohibitive restrictions on their airways. I think Focus on the Family.
Yeah, they can't use the word homosexual or anything like that in their programs.
They couldn't have a pastor give a sermon on Romans 1 and discussing homosexuality.
Right.
And that's where we're coming. If Christians don't, and there's so many opportunities for people to do things, from talking to your neighbor or your friend. I was in a context where several years ago, someone said to me, oh, have you seen the film Brokeback Mountain? Mm. I could have just said, no, I haven't seen it, and left it at that. But I chose to say the truth, which is no, and I'm not going to.
Right.
And that gave me an opportunity, because she said, oh, why? And so it gave me an opportunity. And I find that Christians deliberately avoid those opportunities.
Avoid confrontation.
That's right. Yeah. And even if it's not confrontation, they don't even want to talk about it, even if it's non-confrontational.
Well, they may view it as potential. They don't want to be involved in something that may potentially be confrontational. Yeah.
That's right. So in so doing, we pass a legacy of greater oppression and more limited rights onto our children
Absolutely.
And grandchildren, because we lack courage to do something now. We should be demanding of our politicians that they address this issue, that they take a position on this, that they stop saying all that matters is the economy, leave the social issues, have a truce on the moral issues, the social issues. We have to tell our lawmakers that we won't tolerate that anymore, because these are as important as the economy.
And when you look at it, it's all tied together. If you don't take care of the moral issues, the economy's not going to get fixed. It's all
tied together.
So you've just given us some ideas right there as what we can do. We need to be more willing to confront the issues, to address the issues.
Talk to your friends, talk to your neighbors, talk to your church leaders. They should be addressing these issues. There's all sorts of forms. They can do it in adult Sunday school classes. Someone needs to be equipping Christians on how to understand the secular arguments that are used to normalize homosexuality. Because I was watching Michelle Bachmann be interviewed or grilled by David Gregory. Mm-hmm. This was maybe 2 months ago. Mm-hmm. She did phenomenally well through a very difficult interview until she got to the question on same-sex marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And she just completely bungled it.
Mm-hmm.
She looked stiff and awkward. People need to understand it so they can communicate well. We have to be willing to be hated, because we're going to be.
Yeah.
And we've been promised that in Scripture.
Absolutely.
And then we have to be comfortable that we have to treat our position as if we believe it's right.
Right. Correct.
Because the other side does. And we act as if self-conscious about our position and awkward.
Yeah.
And part of it is ignorance. Part of it is not being educated on it. And so, and we have to ask that of our lawmakers, and we have to send letters to our local press, and we have to go to school board meetings when they're when schools are putting on offensive plays. There's a host.
There's
a whole policy
list
we can write. Yeah.
And because Christians have stepped out of the culture, that list keeps getting longer and keeps getting worse.
That's right.
Whether it be the schools or local governments or the state or federal governments, we have to be involved.
Right. And we live in a country where we govern ourselves.
At this point.
And that's why all Christians need to be involved. And even if, and you know, I care deeply about the school issues, even Christians who are homeschooling their kids or don't have kids yet or who have never had kids or their kids are grown up, they better care about what's going on in public schools, because the kids in public schools today are the culture makers in 10, 15, 20 years.
Absolutely.
And it's a stewardship issue.
Yeah.
Our money are paying the salaries of teachers and administrators who are deliberately undermining our values and beliefs.
Yeah.
So
how can folks contact you there at the Illinois Family Institute?
You can go to illinoisfamily.org, and it's all spelled out, illinoisfamily.org.
IllinoisFamily.org. Thanks, Lori, for your insight on this. I really appreciate it. And we just have to keep our minds centered on what we need to do as Christians to take back our culture.
Yes, and thanks so much for having me, Diane.
Hey, take care.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in defending traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA at Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, 16323, or visit their website at afafpa.org. The views expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect the views of American Family Radio, Lighthouse Ministries of Franklin, AFA, and AFAFPA.